Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
That's what Job primarily is about. This whole book is trying to say to us, we have to learn how to be silent. Be still and know that I am God. You see, this is what's going on in the book of Job. Job is guilty of the same thing he's accusing his friends of being guilty of. Job is saying to his friends, hey, you guys, stop talking and listen to me. And God is saying to Job, Job, you stop talking and listen to me. But it took 40 chapters before Job knew how to shut up and be quiet and be silent before the Lord.
The truth is, God won't waste your pain. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today on The Winning Walk, Dr. Young begins his message, The Great Affirmation, and reveals how God holds your heart and grows your faith even through struggles and suffering. Stick around, Dr. Young is coming right up with that message. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, the pain you experience in life doesn't have to hold you captive. God has designed you to walk in the freedom that comes with knowing He cares for you and will provide for your every need. That's the message at the heart of Dr. Young's 5-message series, Overcoming Pain in Your Life. This powerful series will help you identify the roots of your pain and overcome them through God's power. We'll send you a copy of Overcoming Pain in Your Life as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional, even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Great Affirmation.
God wants everybody to be healthy. If you're suffering, you're obviously not in the will of God. If you believe that, you don't know anything about that book. But you can turn on television 24/7 and find people who somehow take scriptures out of wherever and weave a mysterious net and come up with that felonious conclusion. The Apostle Paul, God's man, had a thorn in the flesh. We do not know the kind of illness it was. There's a lot of speculation, but 3 times he prayed, I'm sure passionately, I'm sure with tears, and said, Lord, take this thorn away. Give me healing. And 3 times the Lord said, no, no, no. And God told Paul in his suffering, my grace is sufficient for you. Strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, he was saying to Paul, I'm going to use you powerfully in this world. And if you were totally healthy and strong, I would not be able to use you as effectively. I'm going to take your strength and it's going to be weakened through suffering, so you'll be strong for me. We're dealing with our guy Job. Been studying Job for several weeks now. Those who haven't been here may not know that Job has had a tough time, to put it mildly. He lost all of his possessions, and he was a wealthy man. He had a lot to lose. Lost 10 children with a natural catastrophe. Unbelievable, unspeakable. Then finally he lost his health. He was struck by Satan trying to get Job to discount his faith in God, and Job kept standing tall, saying, I'm not going to curse God, I'm going to bless God and praise God. And then finally, we see Job today, he has been ricocheted and bombasted by these three men who came to encourage him, and they became accusers. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Eliphaz had spoken harshly to Job. Job had answered and said a word to God. Bildad had spoken harshly. Job answered and blamed God. Zophar had spoken. Job answered, blamed God. And they went through the second stanza of this until Bildad just really lacerated Job. And all three friends had the same thesis. If you're good, God's going to give you good things. If you're bad, God is going to punish you in proportion to your badness. That's exactly the philosophy, the theology of these three friends. And they were trying to play God with Job. And then we come to our scripture today, we see how far down Job has fallen into the pit. And take your Bibles and turn with them, if you would, to chapter number 19. We're going to study almost this entire chapter, but I want you to zero in on Job's complaint to God, verse 6 and 7. Job says, "Know then that God has wronged me and has closed his net around me. And behold, I cry, violence." But Job says, "I get no answer." Let's prepare for the teaching of the word. Father, when we move into deep, dark water, and we go down, down, down to the bottom of the sea, to the depth of the pit, we move into despair and depression and helplessness and hopelessness. We don't know which way to turn. Father, then we can identify with this, your man, God-fearing man, Job. Teach us the lessons of life. And a most profound lesson as we look closely at Job. Speak to our hearts. Speak to me. Let me get out of the way so that thy truth alone might be heard, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see three sections of Job. We have your Bibles with you. By the way, how many have your Bible? Hold your Bible up. Let's see. Oh, yeah. You bring your Bibles to church. It's a good idea. You find Job, go to Psalms, left to Proverbs, and bam, you'll run right into Job. The oldest book in the Bible we've discovered. By the way, the oldest book. So open the book of Job. I want to show you a verse in Job 18, the second verse. This is Bildad, one of Job's erstwhile friends who come to attack him. Came to comfort, ended up attacking. You know, first of all, they begin the conversation. Then the conversation moved into an argument, and finally there's a knockdown, drag out. And that's what the comforters led Job into in his suffering. Look at the verse number 2. This is Bildad talking to Job. He says, "Job, how long will you hunt for words? Show understanding, and then we can talk. Why are we regarded as beasts, as stupid in your eyes?" Look at the phrase. How long you keep on talking, Job? Now, Job answers, and look what he says, chapter 19. Then Job responded, "How long will you torment me and crush me with your words? These 10 times you have insulted me. You are not ashamed to wrong me." Look at the verbs. Follow the verbs if you want to understand Scripture. Look at them. Look at verse 2. It says, Job says, "You've tormented me, you've crushed me, you've insulted me, you have wronged me. Now, the word here is, how long will you keep on talking, Job? And Job answers, how long will you keep on talking, Bildad? They're both asking for the other one to be quiet. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been quiet in your life for 30 minutes? Have you ever been silent for 30 minutes? You say, oh, sure. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Silent with your lips and silent with your mind. Your lips are not moving and your lips of your mind are not moving. Have you ever been silent for 30 minutes like that? It's a great challenge for us. We'd better practice a little bit, because when we get to heaven, we're going to have to learn to be silent like that. Remember in the 8th chapter of Revelation, following the opening of the 7th seal, John tells us there was 30 minutes silence in heaven. Lips did not move, mind did not move. Silence. That's what Job primarily is about. This whole book is trying to say to us, we have to learn how to be silent. Be still and know that I am God. You see, this is what's going on in the book of Job. Job is guilty of the same thing he's accusing his friends of being guilty of. Job is saying to his friends, hey, you guys, stop talking and listen to me. And God is saying to Job, Job, you stop talking and listen to me. But it took 40 chapters before Job knew how to shut up and be quiet and be silent before the Lord. Silence is a challenge. Heard about those four Zen monks? They took a lifetime vow of silence. 9.5 years went by, and one of them said one word. The second one said, I heard that. The third one said, you are foolish. You've broken your vow. And the fourth one said, I'm the only one who made it. To be silent. Soren Kierkegaard, that sort of heavy Danish theologian, tells a story about, if you would go around and ask all the coachmen of the land, those who would drive the horses, you would ask them, why, how do you use the whip? Why do you have a whip in your hand? He said, if you ask that question, someone who has a horse pulling a cart, or a horse is pulling a wagon, or a horse is pulling a chariot, he said, any coachman you ask, what do you do with that whip? And they would answer the same way. I use this whip to drive the horses. It makes the horses go. Everyone would answer the same way. But Kierkegaard said, except the coachman of the king. The coachman of the king would ask, what do you do with that whip? He would say, I simply place it gently on the side of the horse. And he knows to stand still and to be quiet. You see, Job doesn't know it. But God is using Satan as a whip in the life of Job to get him to do simply one thing. Stand still and be quiet. Bildad's complaining, how long are you going to keep talking, Job? Job's complaining, how long are you going to keep criticizing me? And we run into three little anthems of 10. Did you hear the verse I said? It says, 10 times you have crushed, you have insulted, you've slandered, you've wronged me. Now, the word 10 in the Bible is a complete word. It is a whole word. And by 10, it means it has been fulfilled. And if you want to outline the 19th chapter of Job, and I highly recommend you do it, I want you to look over your Bibles, if you would. It helps to have them right side up. Open your Bibles, if you would, to chapter 19. And verse 1 through verse 5, we see Job is saying, 10 ways I've been attacked by my accusers. 10 different ways. You see it down there in the verse? Then look at verse 6 through verse 13, and Job says in this, 10 ways I have been abandoned by God. Doesn't mean he'd been abandoned only 10 ways, but he lists 10 specific ways that God had just not been there when he needed him. And look at the last section, verse 13 through verse 24. Job says, 10 ways I have been alienated from all human relationships. So we have 10, 10, 10, fullness of abandonment, fullness of alienation, fullness of attack by his accusers, by God, and by every other human being. We see that Job is rapidly reaching the very depths of the pit. Watch as he slides down. Look at verse 4. Even if I have truly erred, my error lodges with me. If indeed you vaunt yourself against me and prove my disgrace to me. What's he saying? He's saying, in 10 ways, you have attacked me. He's talking to these. In other words, these were people who came to comfort and now they get into an argument. I wonder if you're like that. I ran into a poem that I like. Here it goes. I saw them tearing a building down, a group of men in a busy town. With a hefty blow and a lusty yell, they swung with zest and a sidewall fell. Ask of the foreman, are these men skilled, the kind you would hire if you had the build? He looked at me and laughed. No, indeed, unskilled labor is all I need. Why, they can wreck in a day or two what it takes builders years to do. I asked myself as I went my way, which of these roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder with a rule and square, measuring and constructing with skill and care? Or am I a wrecker who walks the town content with the business of tearing down? And the question is, are you a builder or are you a wrecker? When someone sees you coming, they say, oh boy, the bill is coming. When someone sees you come, they say, oh, bill is coming. It depends on whether or not you're a builder or a wrecker. And you can be sure when Job first saw his three friends coming when he was sick and he was dying, he was in the garbage, he said, oh, here come my buddies. Man, they're going to comfort me. But now all of a sudden, instead of building, they attacked him at his lowest moment. They kicked him time and time again when he was down and out for the count. It says, 10 ways Job was attacked. And then he says, 10 ways I've been abandoned by God. Look at verse 6. I read it in our text. Know then that God has wronged me, and he has closed his net around me. In other words, he's saying, I'm like a criminal. God has taken his net. He's putting that net around me. He says, I'm not a criminal. God has put me in a net. I don't know why I'm in the net. He says, behold, I try violence, but I get no answer. I shout for help, but there is no justice. Job is saying, I want to get in a courtroom with God. See, that's the cry all the way through Job, isn't it? He said, but who in the world can be the judge? Who can be the advocate? Who can be the arbiter? Who can be the witnesses? Man, when you're in God's courtroom, everybody has to be quiet. Job said, I shout out. It's not right. You see, let's look at the bottom line, the secret part that Job doesn't know. Job, in his suffering, listen carefully, was God's advocate in the courtroom of all of that which we do not see. And Job, in his suffering, had won the case for God against the devil. You follow me? And Job didn't even know it. You see, there's always a metaphysical, there's always a supernatural, there's always a mystery about suffering when it comes to us that we'll never know in this life. Job was an advocate for God, and he had won his case as he kept blessing God instead of cursing God, and the devil was defeated, but Job didn't know it. Here's the afterglow. He's still complaining. He's still upset about his suffering. And we understand that too. Look at the next way he said God has abandoned him. He says, he has walked up my way. He has walled up my way, verse 6, verse 8, so that I cannot pass. In other words, Job, it says, I'm trying to get up from here, and I run into a brick wall. It's God. It's God. It's Psalm 138. Remember, David said, God has put his hand on me, not the hand of blessing, but says he has hemmed me in the front, in the back, and on both sides. He says, I am hemmed in. Job feels exactly like this. He said, God has hemmed me in. And did he wonder, who wouldn't feel hemmed in where Job is now? And look at the next part. He says, latter part of verse 8, and he has put darkness on my paths. Never doubt in darkness, ladies and gentlemen, what God has taught you in the light. Now everything is dark around Job. He can't see. His past is insignificant, and his future is filled with pain and anguish and suffering, and he knows there's no future out there. But Job needs to learn, as we need to learn. I want you to say these words after me. Never doubt in darkness what God has taught me in the light. That's profound. That's deeper than we can understand. But that is the truth that we find in this verse. Job says, God, you've put me in darkness, and you're not there in the darkness with me. And I'm sure God is saying to Job, Job, don't you doubt in the darkness what I've already taught you all the years being present with you in the light. Then look at the next part of his complaint. He says, he removes the crown from my head. In other words, he had been the number one guy. Now he was nothing. You remove the crown, the prestige, the position. Verse 10, he breaks me down on every side and I am gone, and he has uprooted my hope like a tree.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. The words save and salvage come from the same root. To salvage something is not only to save it, but to restore it to its original purpose, the purpose for which it was made. Perhaps you recall seeing the photos of the grounded cruise ship Costa Concordia. That struck a rock, remember, off the coast of Italy? Not so very long ago. The salvaging process was complicated and expensive, costing three times more than it did to build the ship in the first place. But the Concordia was not the costliest salvaging project in history. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he did so to salvage you and me, to restore us to our created purpose. And it cost him everything. Everything.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we want to help you walk daily in the assurance that the Creator of the universe cares deeply for you by sending you Dr. Young's 5-message series, Overcoming Pain in Your Life. The truth is, you're going to have painful moments in life, but you can rise above them when you trust God to meet your needs. Dr. Young's 5-message series will help you live confident that God cares for you no matter what you're facing today. It will encourage you personally and serve as a tool for you to minister to those around you who are hurting. We're excited to send you a copy of Overcoming Pain in Your Life as thanks for your gift to help keep the Winning Walk strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Or text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young continues to examine the book of Job to reveal how God shapes you through all of life's experiences.